Obviously, I like these Chassidish masses very much, but I'm worried that you're not going to come if it's only Chassidish mass. Like, you have to have a shiur, so you can shmiz before the shiur, after the shiur. If there's no shiur, then nobody's going to show up to tell their stories. So have to say shtikl shiur, and then you can shmiz v'atir. So I do. So I say, now this is his chemish, nothing with me. The story is like this. We're starting Shmoyne Pesukim Parak Dalet. Last week, or the last 2 weeks, we're discussing this thing, interesting thing called choice, sometimes known in Jewish language as Bechira. Now, some people thought that there's no Shaiches, but I'll explain the Shaiches. And then, according to that, explain some things about this. The Shaiches is like this. We're trying to understand, and also hope that this understanding will help us somehow in reality, to see if it does. But we're trying to understand this framework, the framework of becoming a good person, known as the training of character virtues, Midas Toivas of Yiddish, which are supposed to lead to the correct actions based on their being their intermediate virtues, their intermediate actions, and so on. The Derech HaMetzah, right? Now, when you think about this, there's several questions, at least two questions, practical questions, not theoretical questions, but practical questions that go under the title of choice. What do I mean? There's one question of choice, which we discussed last week, the question of free will, or as I call it, free-floating will, which is like a theological, theoretical question, which is not only nothing to do specifically with this framework of good midas, right? It's a question on any system that claims to give you the human good, or to explain what is good, and sometimes specifically exhortations, asking you to be good and promising reward and punishment for being good, or bad. People understand that to be contingent on some kind of free will, or really, we should say, some kind of responsibility existing between a person and his activities, and his good or bad activities. Because otherwise, we say it's not his fault, it's not his responsibility, and therefore, there should be no reward and punishment. But besides for that, there should also be no thing called ethics, right? There should be no exhortation or call to being better, because, like, either I'm good or bad, there's no such thing as being better. Yes, it's very good. So that's what people usually think. And in some sense, chapter 8 in our book talks about that problem. Of course, if you think that this is a theoretical question about extreme free will, I call it, or free-floating will, versus contrary to determinism, which says that nothing makes a difference, that is a very dumb problem to have, like you say, because maybe that's all part of it. And in any case, whoever is giving the exhortation doesn't have free will to change that either. So it doesn't seem to make any difference. Also, on the other hand, even if you do have free will, it seems like that doesn't actually solve the problem, because that kind of free will says that human actions, or at least some of them, the ones that are relevant, because the ones that are relevant are the ones that are said to have free will, are actions that have no reason. Because once there's a reason, then that's not free will. And therefore, it seems to be that you can't really be a good person either. You can just choose things that happen to somehow randomly be good. Because a good person, in our sense at least, is someone that makes his goodness make sense. Or you can't, another more pertinent thing, you can't give exhortations to becoming good, because that would be giving causes. And if you believe in free will as some kind of absolute thing, then you can't tell anyone to be good and make them be good by telling them, because what makes them good must be their free choice. Otherwise, you took away free will, and then it would be a bad thing for there to be schar v'onesh, to the extent that it works. So, to the extent that doesn't work, then it's useless. So, that whole discussion, we went through this last week, and also at a class yesterday, and also, I guess a little in Baruch in the second half of the class. That discussion is not relevant to us, at least. It's important. It seems to be important, and we'll get to chapter 8. We'll try to figure out why the Rambam really thinks that it is a little bit important. I think the Rambam is not really discussing free will versus determinism. He's discussing some kind of fatalism, some kind of astrological theories. He's discussing something different, but I can't talk about that right now because I don't know enough. but something is relevant right now and right here. And this is more important. And there's two questions primarily that are very important right now. In other words, a question that is precisely because of the way that we explained what the human kinds of goods are. We explained that human kinds of what is a good person, a good human being, is someone who has something we call good by this, but there's something internal. We call it something like he likes or loves or enjoys doing the good actions, which means the intermediate actions. And this is a stable temperament in him, a stable kind of, what do we call it? Like disposition, a stable wanting. It doesn't change, there's something stable in him. In other words, it's almost something that causes him always to act that way, or at least most of the time. So otherwise, it's not a middah, otherwise, it's just like some random wish or something. And that is what being a good person consists of. It's not, right? It's very important to understand that although actions are very, are in some sense primary in the understanding of this, because what makes the middah good is if it leads to correct actions, but what actions is not what the goodness of the human being consists of. What the goodness of the human being consists of is this more internal thing that we call having good middahs or having good character traits or virtues. Those are virtues. Virtues are excellences of the part of the soul that does these kind of actions. Okay? Does that make sense? Now, because of this exact understanding of what a human, good human being is, which not everyone shares, precisely because of that, we have some questions of choice. Okay? And there's really two questions, and I think they're somewhat connected one to the other, but there's two questions. One is a simple, practical question, which is the Tzimach Tzedek that we quoted seems to has to do with it. And the other is a deeper question, which goes to the structure of what this thing that we call having good midas is even. Okay. The first question is that it seems to people often that we don't have enough control, or easy enough control at least, over what we are in this sense, in the sense of what we like. Right? Many people will say something like this. You can tell me if you think I'm wrong. Many people say this. If you come to yeshiva and you say, Rabbi Yisai, all of you have to, what if we want to be good people, right? Come to yeshiva to become better people. Listen to how you're going to do it. You're going to read 3 Blat Gemara every day, and you're going to come to all the siddurim, and you're going to daven 3 times a day, and all these things you're going to do. People say, okay, we'll try. Though it seems simple, it seems like you can, obviously everyone who this demand is addressed to can do those things. It's not impossible for most people to learn that amount. It's not impossible for anyone to come to shul 3 times a day. It's not impossible to do all these mitzvahs. It's possible, and of course, if you believe it's impossible because you believe in some theory of deterministic theory, then you have a problem, maybe. Probably not even, not really, but it's possible in our experience. It's possible. We decide to do things like that. I know what how to become better. Simple, right? If I come and tell you, no, this is not enough. That's all very nice. Maybe you should do it, but not only because of that. A good person is someone who likes to learn. Learning is not a good example. I'm just saying it because everyone here went to yeshiva and knows what I'm talking about. Okay? And someone being good is not someone who learns. It's not enough to learn. You have to like it. That's what having a middah consists of. It's not enough to be good to your friends, not enough to be nice to your chavrisa. You have to also be the kind of person who is good to his chavrisa. Which means liking it. Right? Then people right away say, what? How am I going to do that? How do you become a kind of person? People say things like, I was born this way, or even if you would agree that you're not stuck with what you were born, people say, okay, but it seems to at least very hard. It seems to be weird to like talk about choice or free choice in this kind of sense. It's like you have free choice. It's a very complicated process. Maybe it's not even guaranteed to work. It seems to be a very difficult thing. Even more, I'll just have to make it clear. This is even more difficult than if I would say people have a problem. How could there be a mitzvah on feelings, right? You should love God. You should not love your neighbor. You should not hate him in your heart. Okay, things like that. People say, what do you mean? What if I do? That's a small problem relative to this problem. Right? Because you could have actions. You could. You have control of your heart a little more than you think, probably. And anyways, the simple reading of these kind of mitzvahs is something like, don't hate him in your heart. You know, right? You know what it means? It means don't be echad bepe ve'echad belev. Right? Don't be the kind of person who smiles to people but really plans their demise, plans how to integrate them. How you say zara grubim of Yiddish, to bury them. Not really. Right? To bring them under. That's what, to bring them down. That's what leses chachlu ve'echad means. Now, do you have control over that? Yeah, you do. Because like I say, talking about planning, it's not talking about feeling in some feeling sense. And
why,
so,
why you say
the same,
that's
what it means, look in all the Mefarshim.
The Rambam says, they have to go over straight to him and tell him
that's one solution. That's one solution to the problem. But what it means is that. That's one solution. One solution for that kind of problem is that. That's not only what it means. It's not, if you're saying doesn't make it better, really. That's not the point. That's just one solution. But I'm not saying a Shira on Hilchas. I'm just trying to show you that that's actually a simple thing, relatively. Same thing V'ahavta as Hashem really means something like don't hate God but come to shul anyways. Anyways. Understand? But now I'm demanding something a lot more than that.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. It leads to it, right? So he says and don't be saying it's befit either, right? So
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like about getting you to hate.
It immediately follows up into what we're proposing, right?
Which is?
That you should like to be good to them.
Not really, no, because it's talking about a specific kind of problem where people are hypocrites.
Yeah,
it's not talking about the kind of problem that.
Right,
we
but how
have.
Do you address this hypocrite? Not by changing what he's doing with them.
No, like you said, there might be ways to change it, or just saying
okay.
Don't be that. How do you change it? Not
okay.
Here the
oh.
Discussions. Like, but it's not making
measures,
an explicit
right?
Demand on what kind of person you are. That's not what it's about. If I give you a demand, you should be that kind of person. Which, like we said, it's a long term thing. You can't have a middle once. You can't have a middle in one day. It has to be, you have to be this kind of person who loves the right things and hates the right things and is angry in the right amount and things like that for the right reasons and the right times. And all of that, that seems to be a more, we could say, internal or even less controllable in the sense that we usually think of control. I have control over my hand, but I don't have control over what I am, over the type of guy I am. That sounds extreme. Make sense, my question? And this is why this concept of Tikkun HaMidos seems to at least need some explanation of how it's going to happen. And even, now this is one thing, an explanation, right? How it's going to happen, practically. So that's why I say there's a practical question. Of course, there's a practical answer. You know, you people already know what the practical answer is. But it also then needs a somewhat theoretical or explanation of how, by that whole practical process, we can tell you, okay, I'll tell you, you have a problem, how you become this kind of guy, right? If I tell you it's not enough to learn, you have to be a masmid. Okay, how do you become a masmid? Secret answer. The answer is by learning, right? You learn enough until you become a masmid. And then you won't have to learn anymore. You'll just learn it somewhat, so to speak, automatically, which is another problem that we'll see, right? But let's talk first about the first thing, because it's not automatic. If it's automatic, it's a problem. Right, let's say even we say this, now there's still a problem, because it still seems like that being a kind of person who likes to learn, and therefore learning, is not something by choice. You could say, okay, I made the choice to learn every day for 5 minutes, and then I became the kind of guy that likes to learn for 5 minutes every day. Okay, so you might say something like, you deserve schar, or I deserve praise, or I am being a good person, right? This is really what I'm saying. I'm being a good person by doing those actions. But in what way am I being a good person? And everyone understands that being a good person has a condition which is choice. Because anything, this we went through last week very clearly, right? Anything that is forced, or even anything that's not by choice, even if it's not forced, doesn't count towards being a good person. So what necessary condition of something being a good action, something being good as a good person, is that it's by choice. And if you have an understanding of a good person, which is something very far from what we usually call like things that by choice, like atomic actions, which seems to be where choice and will exist, then it seems to be hard to explain why is that even good, right? Why is that where we place the goodness of a human being?
Just to clarify, are you trying to say that basically there's no difference if it's like a genetic thing or you practiced until you got there? It, ultimately, at this point, you're just a guy, so it's not something that's of your choice.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that
wouldn't
be so interesting.
Point.
Yeah, you would have the same kind of problem. In other words, if you understand that the guy that already learns is doing it automatically, not by choice, and like you're saying, it's so analogous to someone that would be born that way, though maybe he gets credit for yesterday, but for today he doesn't get any credit. And that seems weird, because we just told you that our whole shtickel Torah was that this is the state of being the kind of good person, and therefore doing good things, is the good state, is the ideal state, not the state of getting to there, right? Because that would prioritize being a Moshe Banafshe, someone who self-controlled person, which the first stage is basically over a virtuous person, which we're not claiming, right?
I think that's just some. I think it's a sign of that. That's where, like, your whole thing about people who have Moshe Banafshe be the ideal. They obviously are respect people who I mean, that's not what they're doing.
Who are not Moshe Banafshe?
But that's not what they're doing. Right? They enjoy learning, let's say, for example.
Yeah,
obviously their ideal person, they're not under no illusion that he's like fighting himself out of the learn. It's just that
I'm not sure people like claim again. I'm asking about under illusion, like
there's up to the wee hours of the night and pushes until it's a matter of
there are theories that I agree with you that this thought that being a good person consists of liking the good is what normal people think. But if you think of, I don't really think anyone disagrees with that. That's what everyone thinks. We also praise people for liking the right things, right? Not only for doing the right things, and like the story of Moshe being a ganav, right? We don't really believe in that story. Right? Everyone believes that it's better to be a good person than to be a bad person who does good things.
I think a good story like that brings out the Shikol Stira is that Shmuel Berman walked into this Medrash on this long summer Shabbos, said, "The stone don't get his heart." It's like, why not?
Right.
And like, it's just a...
Right, that's the question. So now... But you understand my question about choice. There's both a practical question of like, what do you mean when you tell me that this is what I have to be? This is exactly the thing that I have less direct control over. That's one question. And even if you like answer the question by giving me the practical recipe, which you all know, it still needs to be explained why precisely the second stage is the one we praise and not the first stage, right? And if you understand that one important ingredient of praise, of what a good person is, that is by choice. Right, that's like necessary. If something is not by choice, then not interesting ethically. Right. That's the question. That is a very good question. Make sense? A good question. Is it a good question? I think it's a good question. So, you must have that's a good question. Very good. So I think that in order to answer this question, we need to ask a different question, which is, what is this choice thing even? What are we looking for when we're looking for something that is by choice? If we'll understand very clearly what is this thing that we're looking for, that we're looking for choice, which is the thing that makes human activities ethically relevant, or praiseable and damnable, you know, then we'll understand why, and if we'll understand in a way that makes this kind of being more choice-like, more chosen than another kind of being, then we'll understand what we're talking about. Does that make sense?
The guy that likes to do what... What is
it? Like you to do it as a product of choice.
Yes. So we could try to do with exactly this. We'll try. We could try to do exactly this and talk a little bit about this. And maybe we won't entirely finish this all the way to the end and entirely solve this question. There might be simple things to solve this question. I want to make it complicated, so...
Is a shtickle Shakotari and Tarsus regarding the Ovis and the Yatara? This is a shtickle there.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know anything about this. I'm trying to talk about the thing. I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? The Ovis weren't... Did not be Yatara.
No.
So he said, so then why do you get Tchar? Tarsus asks, right? Why do you get Tchar?
And what's
that? So it says that they got to such a stage.
Okay.
That they worked themselves up to such a place that they didn't have the answer.
Man, yeah. I don't think that's the answer. I'm not happy with that answer. I'll just explain you why that's not a good answer.
No, but I'm saying, I think that's like the like
might be the same problem, but you understand why I just explained you why that answer is not a complete answer. So I need to try to think what this thing that we call choice is, okay? Very important discussion. I'm going to just repeat the whole title from Rabbi Aristotle that tries to explain what choice is, or first explain what it's not. And then maybe we'll be able to get to this. Now, number one is like this. There's something called will, like, I think this maps very well to what we call Rotzen versus Oynes in Halacha. Okay, that is one kind of thing. Everyone understands it's something that's Ba'oynes, or even B'shoigeg, which is some sort of a species of Oynes in this context, is not not morally relevant, not ethically relevant, right? What is the opposite of Rotzen? Something that either done by force meaning something that was done to you by someone else, right? Instead of you doing it. This is the important definition. There's differences that this definition makes that I'm not going to get into. But some, for example, like the extreme example is if someone pushed someone through you onto someone else and hurt them, you say, I didn't do it at all, someone did it with me, right? That's by force. There's more complicated cases where you're like, somewhat you did a part of it and the other person did a different part. Okay, that's called force. That's not relevant. There's another kind of non-will, which is called ignorance, right? That's what we call shoigig usually in halach. The difference between shoigig and oynes is basically the difference between force and ignorance, right? Two ways of how you're not responsible because you're lacking will. It's not a willing action, right? Shoigig means either I didn't know what this thing is, right? If I threw a rock at someone, I didn't know that it's metal and it's going to kill him. That's one kind of shoigig. Another kind of shoigig is I didn't know the law, which Aristotle doesn't think is a good shoigig ever. Or I forgot.
Modern law agrees with it.
What?
Modern law agrees with
it. Holds like this, right? It's not clear that Allah disagrees. Only there's Chinggis Khan with Elizabeth, so we have to think of when that applies. Or if I didn't know that it's the Shabbos, things like that. Those are another kind of shoigig.
Yeah, but there's some type of responsibility there because you have to bring a chatas. Obviously, there's some type of
very good, very good. So, but in some depends. That's why this shoigig could learn. Right. If you should have known, the shoigig in which you're responsible is when you have a meta responsibility where you could have known. Whenever you couldn't have known, that's called literally an oynes. All the shoigig that are chayav chatas are the ones where you should have known. You should have been more careful. Or like, there's two kinds of shoigig. Right? There's a shoigig where you didn't know, and there's also a shoigig where it's like you didn't. It's also kind of didn't know, but something like you didn't calculate.
You forgot that it's Shabbos. Or you
right. You should have not forgot that it's Shabbos. You know, he does not allow to forget that it's Shabbos. Therefore, if it's a case where you could, there was absolutely no way, then you're not considered shoigig. You could be mefalt on this. I'm just telling you basic definitions to move on from this. Now, there's something very clear. That's the Tanaya of Rutzen, the Tanaya of being willing. We understand this, okay? This law, for example, is very interested in this definition. Halacha is interested in it, and so on. Now, something very important. Choice is something more than willing. Well, something very interesting. Now you understand something very important. When we say, in order for an action or a kind of thing a person is, which we're trying to get to, is to be ethically relevant, we need choice. We have to understand that what we mean is something more than being a willing versus being an oynes. What is my raya? I have two rayas, okay? One is a kutan and the second is a misasik. These are Aristotle's exact rayas also. I just gave it to you in Hebrew. Okay, a kutan has, obviously, does things willingly. I'm not talking about le'egil echenach or something like that, a one-year-old baby. Anyone that has children, they obviously do things willingly. There is no question about that. But no system of law punishes children up to a certain age. We can argue on the limits of this. But everyone understands that children don't count. What they do don't count legally, don't count ethically in some sense. Another example is something called misasik. Something.
So why is that?
Wait, I'll try to explain. I'm just showing you that will is not enough. There's something, when we say choice, we mean something beyond will. It's not the same thing. Another example.
Yeah, but I can give you an example of a child, right, that sticks his hand in the oven, but that comes from ignorance.
Exactly.
The second time.
Yeah. But when a child does a good or a bad thing, he chose to do it in the sense of having will. You can't say he was forced. Nobody thinks that children are forced. Oh, even animals, by the way, probably do things willingly in that sense. At least Aristotle thinks so.
Aristotle,
animals can do or not do things. Nobody's forcing them to do many of the things they do.
So they have will?
Yes, of course they do. And then, like, again, a dog, not a, I don't know,
a bug.
Some bugs.
How do they have will if it's ignorance? They for sure
they don't need ignorance. They're not ignorant. They know, a dog knows where he's going and he decides to go there or not there. Not ignorant of the things that are relevant to him. He might be ignorant in the moral sense because he doesn't know there's something as law.
That's
another level. Uh-huh. Ignorance, I'm talking about ignorance in the sense of that's the main, the primary example of ignorance here is that you don't know what you're doing. You don't know the object or you don't know, like, I didn't know that my car was on when I did something like that, right? Uh-huh. And dogs have that. Okay, so children or animals have will. And it's not enough. Another thing which is also easy to see is something, I think something we call halacha mis'asek, doing things in some kind of, the translators call it the spur of the moment things.
Reflexive or?
Reflexive is not a good definition for that, I think.
That would be more of an honest reflexive.
So, it's different. Something I just, I don't know, I just moved that cup there. I didn't choose to do it. I'll give you my example. Sometimes a better example, because spontaneous, it gets complicated. I'm trying to get to the intuition here. If you come into this room, because I spent a few hours trying to figure out what a good example to, we'll clarify this. If you come to this room and ask me, why is there this chandelier in it? I will tell you, I chose it. Okay? If you come and ask me, why is that paper vertically and not horizontally? If I tell you I chose it, that sounds very weird. I put it there, nobody forced me to put it there in that way. I was the one that put it in that exact way.
Arbitrary. But
me telling you that I chose it would sound weird. Why would it sound weird? It's missing something. This word choice means something beyond...
Intentionality?
Some kind of intentionality. Some kind of... I could tell you a few things.
For a purpose. Covenant.
Some kind of purpose. Missing some reason. Like, in other words, choice means a reason. Choice needs a reason. There's a reason I chose this because I thought it will match to the rest of the room. There's the brown and the white and whatever. Something. And it wasn't too expensive or too cheap. And I can give you an account. I can give you a theory. I mean, not every choice might be that elaborate. But there's some... I could give you like at least three words of what this would mean. At least there's, like you said, there's an intention. I mean something. Like it's towards something. There's a goal. I need to have a nice room. Therefore, I put this chandelier. There was some kind of deliberation in it. Like I looked at the 30 different chandeliers they have in Home Depot and I chose the nicest one or whatever. And there's some kind of reasoning in it, right? Why did I choose this? It makes sense. I might be wrong. It's not something like intellectual thing. It's different than like I give you a proof. Why do you believe that the Rambam meant this? I'll give you a proof. I can't give you a proof for why I chose it. Proof is the wrong category, or argument in the intellectual philosophical sense is the wrong argument. But reasons are correct. There is a reason, and I might have even discussed it with other people. Afterwards, I made a choice. There's like a consultation going on. I ask my wife, what do you think? And I ask this guy, what do you think? There is something going on. Versus when you ask me, why is that paper that way? I can't blame anyone else. Like, in some sense, legally, if it would be an avidan doing that, I'll say, I don't know, I wasn't thinking. Well, why aren't you thinking? It wouldn't absolve me from doing some. It would be good and bad in the legal sense, probably. Sometimes it would, right? Like, we have the difference between like premeditated things and non-premeditated things. But so maybe it would make it like turn into second degree murder.
Might depend if you kill someone or if you call Shabbos.
Right. For some things it makes a difference, right? For some things it makes a difference. But it's definitely not choice. In other words, now you can see something very, very simple already from this example. Why would this be more relevant to the kind of morality I care about? I'm trying to discuss, to explain to you. It would be more relevant precisely because we say that a good person and good activities, it's not good. We say something like interesting, right? We say something that there can be the same action that can be good, done by a good person, and a bad person can do good things, and it doesn't make him good, right? The self-controlled person, the person who's under self-control, and the good person both do the exact same things, like the Ben and the Tzaddik and the Tanya, they both do the exact same actions. They're just that. I don't know why I'm so confused about explaining it. And they both do the same exact thing, but one is a good person, and the other one is a person who's doing good activities. So he's acting as if he's a good person, but he's not a good person, right? Now, what do we mean to say by that? That there's something in the way, there might be also different, but there's something in which when the good person does it, it's expressive of the kind of person he is. When the bad person does it, it's not expressive of what it is, so there's a different, he did it by self-control, not by what he is. Right? The reason, in other words, there's a different reason for doing it. When a bad person does a good thing, he's doing it because he thinks that it's good, and there's self-control, and so on. When a good person does it, it's expressive of what he is already. Right? Because I'm the kind of person that does these kinds of things. What am I telling you here? Now you can already see, and I think that I jumped a little bit of a step, but you can already see that when I tell the things, what is the difference from things that are done choice and the things that are merely done willingly? at least one of the things is that if I tell you, okay, I chose this, then you know I'm the kind of guy that likes this kind of thing. This is my idea of beauty, has something to do with this, or my idea of what the purpose of this room is, has something to do with this. It reflects something about me. Versus how that piece of paper is put down on the desk doesn't say anything about me. Unless you say, like, it says that I'm messy, or something like very, very general. Doesn't say anything particular to this action about me. Or I'm messy, then it goes back to, like, that's why I tried to get away. Then it goes back to, like, a question, like, if it's automatic, does it come from some character trait that I have already? If I find that one doesn't really come from anything. Like, some difference that's entirely arbitrary. Can't blame anyone else, but it doesn't say anything else about me. So, now, yeah.
Just going back to the kids thing, is that what you're saying? The kids don't have intentionality?
There's yeah, kids, so this, in the same way, well, I'll finish. I'm just trying to finish one thing. So now, so choice, when we say, so now I want to finish this, I'll talk about that in a second. When we say choice is necessary for things to be relevant morally, if you think about it in this way, you'll realize right away from thinking the difference between willing and choice, you'll see that what we need is not that there's something that it wasn't forced, that not something else did that. It's not enough. Because you like I showed you from these examples. What we mean by that is something, and also not obviously the problem of determinism, which will just be a thing that everyone is always forced because nobody ever does anything because the principle is not in him. He's not the beginning of that action. But what we're looking for is a specific way in which an activity is mine. There's some bias, some responsibility, some ownership of the thing, which is why we're looking for this thing called choice. This is why it's very obvious, right? Like everyone understands that we have this category of premeditation. And we have, in law, it's very important to talk about intention. Like, did the person plan it? And we can, like, do something like character witnesses, which show what kind of person is, would he have planned it, or something like that. Or even if he did it, like, just out of anger, that doesn't show so much. That isn't somehow less bad. Why is it less bad? It's only less bad because we understand that what choice is, what makes actions belonging to a human being, is precisely that they come out of the kind of thing he is, the kind of person he is. Does this make sense? And this is a entirely different definition of why choice is even important in ethics or in judgment. Not only important to negate problems of someone else did it, it's also important to negate the question, did he do it because of what he is, or did he just do it for some other reason, for no reason? If you do something for a reason, and part of the reason is what you are, then it's something that shows what you are.
Do we not want to... Meaning, so this, just to maybe split it out into... maybe this is a third category, but we're not looking for exclusively actions that follow from rational deliberation, right? We're looking for things that follow from character that was a product of rational...
Well, we're going to get to that problem. That gets more complicated.
Okay.
The kind of character is not something distinct from rational deliberation. Some kind
so
of reason.
So far, it sounds very circular to me. In other words, where does it start from? The chicken or the egg, right? Like, when I start doing something, anytime I start doing something, what type of person am I?
Yeah, I'm
then,
talking
then,
about
and
after.
And then it turns me into that whatever type of person.
It's circular. That's not the problem. We're talking about, I'm just telling you the ideal. This the fact that it's circular, that's agreed.
No, you're saying
no
that it tells me what type of person I am.
Yes.
So,
I'm telling you
what
that,
means that what I thought action makes me a person.
That's true, but
so
we're saying that the ideal action, I'm just talking about how the ideal action is the one where you're already a kind of person and you're doing good things because you're that kind of person. Not before that. There's three stages in every, that's the
but
practical sense.
I can never
sense.
Do anything
of course you can do
what
things.
It is that I am.
No, you could.
You
not,
said,
you're not,
when you're doing
nobody
you
said,
do something because you're forced.
No, that's not true. Nobody is forced to do anything. And especially, it's obviously possible to do things against your own choice. We have to talk about this. It's also possible to do things against what you think is good, or against what you feel is good, at least. That's how practice works, right? Practice means, right? There's not. I didn't say ever that everything we do comes out of what you are. The opposite. But those would be the less chosen actions, or the actions less connected to your choice. What you are doesn't force you to do anything ever. There isn't even such a thing as what you are in that sense. This is something that we have to understand a lot better. When we say something like people have character traits, those are not force powers. They're not like energies that push you to do things. What they are is precisely something choosy. I don't know how you say that. Something that has the attribute of choice It's like actually what they are is almost a choice. Choice plus something else, plus actually liking it. But your liking isn't aligned with your choice. But not habit, not in an automatic way. All the habits that we're ever talking about are not something that should be understood as an automatic thing. The only thing that is automatic...
From doing, yeah, I'm saying from
that
doing.
It doesn't mean you don't become an automatic thing. This is another important thing. I'm jumping around. But just, you should be very clear. That when we say that a good person is someone that has good habits, but we do not mean that he's a person that does things without thinking. It's almost the opposite. He does everything with thinking.
Are you saying this is where the intentionality comes in? Purpose? How does that tie in the thing you were saying before about having intention or a purpose or whatever and what you're doing?
Yes, because intention means I'm doing something for a reason.
So you want it to be two things. You want it to be you with a purpose or intention
you
or something?
You just means like you in the simple sense, in the willing sense, is just I did it, not someone else. Okay. But you in the more complex sense is I did it because of me. Because of me understanding this to be a good thing, which is the kind of person I am. I see the good in certain things. I see how this is good. I'm trained to understand how to act in certain cases. That's what we say when we say choice.
But also you're doing it because it's good, because it's what you do.
That's what exactly doing because it's what I do is what it means doing it because I chose it. That's what choice consists of. That's what I'm answering, I guess, your question also. Choice is not something. This is precisely what we're trying to get to here. We could talk. Trying to think if I my like four things here. Choice is not something contrary to doing things automatically. There isn't really the understanding that we have here of habit is not really doing things automatically. There is not such an understanding, and it's not. Maybe they think that it's not the correct description of the things we call that way. When we say, like I explained to you, well, the reason why we're interested in choice is not only because, right, choice is distinct from willing. What we're interested in choice is because we're interested in things done like that the person did, unlike something that just like did that are not expressive of what he is. Now, the kinds of thoughts, the kinds of reasons that people have are a lot more expressive of what they are than their choices and when they don't have good reasons, or their choices when they don't like what they're doing. This would be two different levels, but in any case, that when I say he is the kind of guy he's a murderer, right? He planned the murder, and he planned the murder because to him murder is good. Murder seems good to him. That makes it the action a worse kind of action, and shows that he's a worse kind of person than when we say someone like murdered someone because he was angry in the moment, or just for no reason. The kind of reasons that people have, the kind of intentions they have, aiming towards a reason, aiming towards a goal that you have, right? The kind of reasons that people have is precisely expressive of what kind of people they are. There isn't like two things, the reason, giving reasons and being a kind of person.
I'm still confused. There's two things going on. There's the fact that you want something to be a habit, but also you want it to be a habit that isn't just whatever, automatic. Like, I don't know.
I don't think
going
they're
for
really.
A cigarette
I don't
at a certain time every day, just automatic, not thinking. That's a habit.
Those are
also.
Not. Those are precisely the things that I just said that we don't call choice.
Okay.
The paper sideways or.
And again, choice doesn't have to be every day.
That's another question.
Remember that.
Even though it's a habit, it's still not a choice, basically.
Well, only I don't think we have to judge activity one by one. We could say that's another thing. That's why I said if we can jump all the way there and talk about that. There's no reason because the whole when we're talking about judging a person and what it's as the kind of person he is, right? We're going to tell his whole life story, at least a long story. We're not going to ask about every action. That's the wrong framing or the wrong.
But
what
are you saying?
A
person goes out for a cigarette every day at noon.
Right, but again. Let's talk about something more simple, right? Like, could you go back to my example of choosing a kind of something that would make sense to say I chose? You see that
stopping to smoke.
What's interesting now? I'm trying to get something. What's interesting about me saying I chose to buy this chandelier is not that I could have not bought it. There's something a lot that's obviously true, but there's something a lot more interesting in saying that. It's that I chose in the sense that I checked into it. I looked into it, I found the right one, I have my reasons for doing that. And the, all these, this whole story is what makes my choice of buying a chandelier interesting in a human way, in a way that is, like I say, is expressive or has something to do with what I am. And that is precisely what we're looking for when we say that we think that chosen acting, things by choice, are more interesting than things not by choice. What we don't mean is what you keep on thinking of. What we don't mean is what you keep on thinking of is, did I do it because something in me made me do it, or did I do it because I decided now? We're not looking for decided now, which would just be a way of saying, could you have done otherwise? I could not have done otherwise. It's the opposite. If I make a decision, assuming that this is something that's expressive, I'm just, that example was not a really an ethical example. But assuming that I, if you imagine it as an ethical thing, and we say, I made this choice because I have a correct, you could use aesthetics as a place of ethics, right? Because I have the correct vision of beauty, I understand how proportionate things have to be and which colors they have to be and so on. And that's why saying that it's my choice is interesting. That's why it makes it part of me. It makes it something that I did, right? It's actually not true that I could have done differently. It's almost the opposite. I couldn't have done differently. I couldn't have chosen differently. I could have been forced to do something differently. I could have not chosen differently. If I would do differently, it would be not by choice. Because my choice is precisely what comes out of my understanding of how things should be. If I would have bought an ugly chandelier, like assuming that I'm the guy that understands this, right? If I would have bought an ugly one, you would say, well, he didn't choose it. And for example, right? I tell the same example. If you come here and you see, well, why is there that ugly thing? And I say, well, I didn't choose that.
I would never have
Don't blame
that.
Me for it. I didn't choose it. It's there by necessity because the air condition was there before and we didn't have the ability to move it. So therefore, right? You see how that absolves me. That doesn't mean I don't have responsibility. It also doesn't mean I couldn't have done differently. I could have done differently. But it doesn't express my choice. It's not a choice that I made. Choice is a very positive thing, and it's not the same thing as he could have done otherwise. It's almost the opposite of he could have done otherwise. He almost couldn't have done otherwise. Of course, if he entirely couldn't have done otherwise, it's more complicated than this, but almost. Does this help us split these two things?
Somewhat. They're still...
they're closely connected. Nobody is arguing with that. I just have to show you the difference.
Right, so
what takes place has to follow by virtue of your human participation.
Human kind of decision, which is by reasons and by understanding of what is good and things like that.
So when you develop some meter or something like that, what we're saying is that you're gonna do that, but when you do that, it reflects the choice. That's the
point. Midah always, all midas, this has to do with another class that we did probably, all midas consist almost of, or at least require, something called practical judgment, right? Phronesis, practical wisdom. A midah is not, that's why we have to keep on getting out of this model that we have a midas as kind of energies that push you to do things. There's no anchor to that. Midas are, having a correct midah means something like, having a good, something, the closest analogy that I have that people know what it is, means something like having a good aesthetic judgment. It means I have an eye for the correct activity, the correct action in
but
the,
how did
in
it
the
come
kind
to
of
so even, even, even
that
the,
we're
even
not,
actions,
I'm giving you what it is. It's not true. You can see very clearly how there's something active all the time. Right.
So
if you think of this analogy, right? Someone, there's a person that has a good eye for beauty, right? When he judges something as beautiful, it's true that he judges this from some, you could call it an energy if you really want, but it's not in the way that people would understand. It's true that he once trained to be able to have, this is not something he was born with, or maybe not necessarily born with. He trained himself by making a bunch of judgments and accepting criticism and however it is that you get trained into having a good eye for beauty. But it's not the eye that he has sort of pushing him to have that judgment. It's a judgment that he has right now.
Even habits in this sense then can follow because they're informed by an ethical perception of a certain... You could see how they're ethically informed, even if they're habitually carried out.
Habits are not habitually carried out.
Because they're ethically informed, right? Because I have the evaluative
because there's always because
to,
not only do you have that's what
right?
you're doing, right? Because every habit that we think of is something like he is a person that only gets mad in the right times, right? This means something like he has a good eye for identifying the times in which you should be getting angry. It doesn't mean, it's very important that all midas require phronesis. It doesn't mean his boiler of anger is calibrated correctly in his soul. Isn't that whole story is a fantasy that you were taught by Disney, I don't know who. Doesn't exist. We already went, this is like my first class on ethics. People keep on going back to that for some reason. I don't know why people like that image, like that understanding. There's no reason to think of it.
Meaning it's how ethically informed your activities are. Even if they're repeated.
They're repeated,
and especially
but
they're
actively repeated. They're not passively
right,
repeated.
It follows from an ethical
understanding.
Sensation. Yeah, and
or
a sense
say perception almost, yes.
Because that partially answers
well,
the action is, question, right?
Things can become easier in a certain sense, but it's still, right? Like, I'm a very good painter. You have to understand the habit, like, this word habit is extremely confusing for the correct understanding. The habit is more like, if I'm a very good painter, I can habitually paint a beautiful art. I don't have to think about it. I just come on in the morning in a studio, and I take out the paint, and it's painted in 5 minutes. Nobody would say that means it wasn't done with skill, right? Skill is art, knowledge. Nobody would say, well, he's not really doing it, it's just his habit doing it. It doesn't even make sense. And it's the opposite. The more he has the habit, the better artist he is, not the worst artist he is. Then it's more relevant to praise him for being a good artist. Of course, you could say there wasn't a challenge in it. I'm not saying that it's in some sense, if he has a challenging thing, then he's going to express even more of his art. Because now there's a complicated case. He has to express more of his knowledge of how exactly to paint something.
Right, but there's no way it's going to be looking like a three-year-old's Mishkabah.
It's not automatic, exactly. But it's not never automatic in the sense that you're imagining the whole time. And actually, if people, nobody ever, I don't know, I don't even know where people got this idea, now that I'm thinking of this. Like, where did you get the idea that people have automatic middas? Why? What are you people even talking about? Rabbi Birnbaum went automatically. What does this even mean? It wasn't automatic in the sense of, like, I mean, you could talk automatic and things that are actually not as clear, like I have a certain tick, like whenever I wake up, I push my hair that way. That's not relevant. There's no good or bad in that. That's something with no thought. But anything that's ethically relevant, you really have an example of someone that's automatic in any real way? He's a mass, but he learns every day, okay? In what sense is that automatic? Seems like a very funny description of something. You got what I'm saying?
Can there be a person that's more than that automatically?
No, it could, because not everything is following like what you said.
Yeah.
Without like it going through his koicha seichel or his koicha, his midas ha moedal emes.
Yeah.
No, meaning where does that come from?
I don't know.
Is that so hard
to imagine?
It bypasses his so-called faculty of choice or his faculty of whatever faculty it is that determines this.
Is it so hard to imagine?
Doesn't make sense, because moedal emes means that I know. Doesn't mean, just to be clear, this has to do with the derech hametz, right? If moedal emes would mean something like, I'm like a machine, you press a button and it tells you everything I'm thinking, then you would be correct. But since there's no middle that's like that, right?
Levels of intentionality you could, for example,
not for an intermediate, right?
No. Even if it's intermediate, for example, if it's not governed by the rationality of the thing itself, but by something else. So, tells me every morning when you come in, do this.
Yeah, but that's not that's not an ethical habit. There's nothing intermediate about that, right? The intermediate requires knowledge. Always requires
judgment.
But it's automatic. Automatic
right?
In what way?
Automatic in the sense that
waking up at a certain time is not.
It doesn't
not
follow
thing.
From rational deliberation, in any sense.
Oh, it does.
But I do it repeatedly.
It does because you need to know when it's the right time. How do you know when it's the right time?
Yeah. So I'm saying is
you manage to do it without looking at the clock.
Yeah, right. So let me.
Maybe you have an internal clock. Something that doesn't change anything.
1 second. So is there a difference between the person who comes in and hits the light switch every morning because he was told? By the way, every morning when you come in, hit the light switch, and the person who turns on the light every day because he wants there to be light in the building.
No, I don't see the difference.
Okay.
The person who does it every day
difference.
Is because he wants there to be light in the building. He's not.
No. Let's say for example, if he's No, of course. In some sense, he'd be operating like a machine. Someone could tell him, hey, your job, you know, I'm paying you $10 a day to
hit the switch. People can be made to act like machines for other people. Then they're not agents. Then they're not ethical agents. Then they're just
idea that things but this idea that things can't be
then
done.
Then nobody would call that a choice.
100%. But it does mean that things can be done automatically without participation in
the that's complicated. Only in a relative sense.
I'm not saying it's not in a relative sense, but I'm saying is that there are degrees.
Yeah, but it's not very interesting, just to be clear. That's why the just following orders, the excuse doesn't work very well, right? Ethically doesn't work very well, like Ashlech Varavad, right? Doesn't work very well because no action that's relevant, like again, the only extreme case is something like where I throw you onto someone, then I'm really using you as a tool. But everything besides that is going to go through your rational or emotional, even whatever you want to call it. Doesn't have to be rational. Again, everything we say rational here, we don't mean reason in the kind of reason that learns Tosfos. We mean the kind of reason that knows that if you want to go through the door, you have to open the door. Right. There isn't a possibility for a human being to do that without that, and even in a sense without whatever kind of ethical judgment he has, because people don't only do things because they think they're correct. We have to get to this and more. I'm not going to finish it today. What time is it? But I have to go through his four things that choice is nothing. I'll see a bunch of nice things. But to conclude this point, you would not be able to do anything without some kind of perception at least, which is a kind of judgment. So again, you could say I made a mistake, I have some like habit that caused me to perceive things wrongly and so on, but there's something there. And also not really possible to go through some kind of choice. Because again, choice in the sense of the deliberative choice, right? This kind of thing where I aim towards something because I think it's good, right? Now, I might not have two sides and not have thought about it for a very long time. All of these things we could talk about, like degrees of choice, like I agree. But you can't really have anything that's, again, anything that's ethically that's relevant. Now, ethically relevant is another way of saying something that is done through this, how we call it, the desiring soul, right?
Yeah,
the part of the soul that wants things. Now, the part of the soul that wants things works by identifying what it thinks is good and doing those things. How are we going to do it without that?
100%. The only thing that I would say is, and where I do think it's interesting, is that by understanding, let's say, what you're doing better, like and improving your understanding of what you're doing, in some sense, you change a little bit what, even if you're doing the same thing, I think eventually
you're not doing the same thing.
Right. You're not doing the same thing, 100%.
But you're not doing the same thing, because there's many descriptions of the same thing.
Right, yeah.
And human activities have to do those descriptions, just that they have to do with the physical activity.
Right. I'm just saying is that this, because something can be automatic, only shows that you have a minimum sense of...
I don't know which things are automatic. What does that mean?
So,
Tell me one automatic thing.
I wouldn't call it automatic. I would say that there are some actions that follow from a much smaller narrative, right? For example, this is what I do so that someone doesn't yell at me. Right?
Okay, so that's you could
or
call
not
it
even
something
this way.
Like,
this is what yells at me. This is what I do because it works.
It's not automatic. It's not interesting to say it's automatic. What's interesting is to say that you're only following orders. So the real, in other words, if you want to judge this person, you could say something like, and even that I think is not true.
No, I give you a dumb example for this, right?
No.
So if you have a program, right? There's two. Typically, like, there's different ways you can use it, right? But some people understand, hey, I click here and I click here and nobody, and everything works, right? And then there's a person who actually understands the mechanical function of that program and does this. They both do it habitually, right? But one of them is
much... I'm not
sure
what you mean by habitually. That's what I'm confused about.
Both of it follows from some sort of rational deliberation, but what they're... the way in which they're doing that habitually is different. One is doing it habitually because they're producing a certain outcome every time, and another one's doing it because they follow a specific procedure every time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand, because they might be doing different things, like the same people doing the same, just to be clear, people doing the same the same physical thing might still be doing different things.
Right, that
right?
goes back to the narrative story.
In the ethical sense, right?
Yeah.
Like our example of the people standing by a bus stop, okay? People standing by a bus stop, all of them are standing by the bus stop, and that's like the minimal description of what they're doing. But also, one of them is going to visit his grandmother, another one is on the way to murder two people, and the other one is just checking if the bus comes on time. Those people are not doing the same thing. The ethically relevant or humanly relevant description of what they're doing, which is their intention, is not the same at all. Okay?
We're not running towards and running away from. That's the best.
Exactly. Those are not the same thing. Now, Now, though, but the difference is not one of choice. It's not that one of them has had less choice. None of them are doing anything automatically. They're just doing less of anything.
Right, I'm saying.
And
so
of course, choice is more interesting when it's a more complicated story. But none of them are doing anything not by choice.
Right, but I think what people might mean when they say that someone's doing something automatically means that it's following from a adherence to a much less ideally rational place.
Well, if someone says something like, why you're... Like, I see what you're saying. Like, something like... what we call automatically would just mean something like someone who the real reason he's doing something is because he did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, the Kotzker ever said that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, but I sort of think that nobody really says that. This is why I'm anti-Kotzker. This is just a very weird judgment of people. Nobody davened because they davened yesterday. It even sounds weird. If you ask the guy, right, this like so-called mitzvah hamashal and another guy, who's me, and they say, why did you put on tefillin today? I said, would he tell you because I put it on yesterday? Who, which normal, no human being would answer this answer. Only the people critical of him say that. They don't really agree. They're not in his mind. He's saying, what am I putting on tefillin? Because he puts on tefillin. Of course I do it every day, because he puts on tefillin every day.
Yeah, but...
like, what do you want from my life?
I know, but not because he did it yesterday. I'd say more like, because he has a less than ideal rational understanding of what he's doing, right? And he's doing it for maybe something that is much less ethical than you would expect.
Well, you could say, again...
I think people mean by automatic.
It's not automatic.
It's fall.
Just, so very, very nice.
I know.
So we're changing the word.
I think Shmuel is being the Kotzker very good. He's saying,
no, but according to him, you're automatic, the word automatic...
Yeah, it's a bad word.
It's a very bad word.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
not
expressing what it's trying to say. It's not true that the person who puts on film like yesterday is doing it automatically. It is true that he's doing much less. It's something different. You could say something like you're only putting on tefillin like a Yitzchak puts on tefillin. Right? Really,
yeah.
What you should be doing is
putting on tefillin like a Shabbat,
your Melech on your left, which is a different action.
Yeah.
It expresses itself in the same physical part, but it's a different action.
So
that's nothing to do with automatic. I have to do something else.
I know. I'm just saying
automatic would be a weird description for doing something in a minimal way or something.
It's usually what people are criticizing, though, and what they really want to criticize when they're saying something's automatic.
That's interesting. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, we're done.
My life is complete.
I could close it, or we'll finish one next time.
Is it?